You know, we'll just let this get up on the slides here. Waiting. As you know, today is ABK Sunday, and that last song we sung, Savior, He Can Move the Mountains, My God is Mighty to Save. That's one song, whenever we sing it at camp, it always just moves me so much because you have all these kids at one camp. We can have up to 96 children at one camp, and so many of them come from situations, so many of them come from situations in life that they can't control. That's just heartbreaking. And to know that they have a God who is mighty to save them from whatever mess they might be in, mighty to save us all from the sin problem that we have, that is just such an encouraging song. And we're going to talk a little bit about Camp Oshpakoon this morning, and then I'll send the kids out, and then we'll have kind of a condensed, I guess, sermon. I'm shooting for 10 after 12. I apologize if I go a little beyond that. I promise it won't be long. I have a few people who promised me they'd start coughing if it got a little long-winded. So anyways, let's start with this video.
This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot. For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No!
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Moms are the best.
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
So happy Mother's Day from Camp Ashbakun. This morning we've titled it ABK Sunday, but I don't want moms to feel like we're stealing your thunder, and really we're not. Mother's Day is so much more important than ABK Sunday. So if you're a mom, if you're a mom, stay seated. If you're not a mom, stand up. And I think they deserve a standing ovation, in my opinion. So stand up and give them a hand. So happy Mother's Day from ABK. I said this last year, and I'll say it again. The logic for today being ABK Sunday, besides just the simple fact that there was no other Sunday, is moms are awesome. They deserve a break, I think. You can send your child to Camp ABK to spend a whole week there. Yes, one whole week. Send your child to ABK. Get the break that you so rightfully deserve. So send your child to ABK. We're going to talk a little bit about camp right now. Just let me find my slide notes. Our mission. So Camp Ashbakun exists to present the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the lives of children and adults through the camping experience. And believe it or not, everything we do at camp, whether it's those wacky chapel songs or campfire songs or crazy games, people eating donuts off strings, whatever it might be, we think of that all, we plan it all, to present the claims of Christ upon the lives of children and adults through the camping experience. We give them a week that is full of fun. It's an absolute blast. I've rarely heard of a kid who hasn't had a good time at camp. And they go home knowing that the week was fun, knowing they want to go back next year, and also knowing a little bit more about their Savior, Jesus. And that's what we're all about. So a typical day at ABK involves the following: delicious food. And I mean delicious, delicious, delicious food. You do not go to camp if you want to lose weight. All right? You just don't do it. Activities: archery, tubing, canoeing, swimming, etc. There's a ton of activities to do for all ages. Crazy games, chapel, obviously, campfire, free swim, and so much more. Now, all of these things, obviously, are what campers will experience in a day, but I want to say that as a staff member, when you come to camp, it's unbelievable the amount that's poured into you and the amount you learn from looking after a cabin of 12, 9 to 11-year-old boys for a week. Like you learn very practical skills, like how to check if anyone wet their bed, and you learn very important skills in how to talk to a child about Jesus who's never heard about him, how to talk to somebody about a loving father when maybe they don't have one of their own. You learn such important skills. So yeah, there's a ton offered to campers. There's also a ton offered to staff members as well. I don't quite have time for that video, so we're going to skip it. It was Andrea Roberts, for those of you who know her, and she was talking about how she works in the missions field. And I just love the end of the video because she talked about how she goes far and abroad on missions, but she knows that when she's here in Sault Ste. Marie, when she's at Bethel Bible Chapel, that there is a mission field 2 hours down the road in Camp Ashbakun. And you don't have to pay anything to go there. You don't have to plan these extensive trips to go there. You go and you're serving right there. And the thing with camp, the thing that I love about camp is there's 7 supporting assemblies. Camp is a ministry of each of those supporting assemblies. So camp is a ministry of Bethel Bible Chapel. We have several people in the audience today who would credit camp as a significant part of their spiritual growth, who are participating in Awana as Sunday school leaders, as youth group leaders, serving at this church here. Camp is unique in that we draw the people we're ministering to and our missionaries from the same location. So we draw people we're ministering to, campers from Sault Ste. Marie, and our staff from Sault Ste. Marie. And I think it's important when you go to camp as staff, and this is one thing I'd love to see just develop more and more at camp, is when you come back to keep connections with these kids that you met, these kids who are looking up to you in such a great way. So how can you get involved? The first is pray, pray, pray. As I said, I've counseled well over 200 boys at my time counseling at ABK. And some of the stories that you hear are just heartbreaking. And you realize when you're at camp for a week the fact that it is real spiritual warfare out there. You realize when you're at camp for the week, you feel that weight, that desperation, that these kids are coming from these situations, coming to ABK. It might be the only time they hear about Jesus other than hearing him in a swear word. It's the only time they hear about him, the only time they hear about that hope, the hope that we all have, the hope that we know so well. And camp needs to be smothered in prayers. There is an ABK prayer team here at Bethel. If you'd like to sign up for that, I believe Meredith Bone is the one to talk to about that. So pray, pray, pray. Spend some time on Sugar Lake. We are always looking for willing workers to come and spend some time at camp. Here's a little chart of different things going on this year that you can get involved in. Next weekend, May 15th to May 18th, there's an announcement in the bulletin about this, is work weekend. We open camp up for the season, so there's a lot of little maintenance issues, there's a lot of cleaning to do, a lot of yard work to do, just moving sand, moving gravel, wide range of skills required. So if you'd like to come to that, even for part of the weekend, you're more than welcome. If you want to come early Saturday morning, get some work accomplished, and leave Saturday evening, go for it. We'd love to have you. If you're looking for a ride or maybe looking for some way to get down there, I know it's in the bulletin. It gives you Len and Becky Peake's phone number as a contact number for that. June work parties. We've started this now that we have a school trips ministry. We've started this where people who are retired or maybe have a few days off work in June, or college students who haven't found a job yet, can come down to camp in June and serve. There's two things I have listed there. I'm pointing back there, but you get it. There's two things I have listed there. The second thing is all of June. That just means you can come for a couple days here, a couple of days there. Just call camp, let us know you're coming, and we'll have jobs lined up for you. Don Robert is great, a great person to have down there. He is there pretty much all of June running just preventative maintenance projects, we call them. The other thing is we have two work parties coming from Bethel specifically for the day. So you'll leave early in the morning, you'll get back in the evening. The first is May 20th, and the second is June 10th. So for the May 20th and June 10th days, I will have specific projects based on who we can get. There is a cabin that we've just redone that needs some finishing carpentry done in it. So that means like some window trim, some doors installed, stuff like that. There's some plumbing to do. So if that interests you at all, come down. You can talk to Ann Bone about either one of those trips, May 20th or June 10th, and she'll organize it. There's also lots of painting to do. There's going to be lots of cleaning all throughout June. It's a great time to come and get involved in camp and just see what goes on there. And I tell you, too, when you see what's going on there with the school trips, it's going to be so encouraging, because that school trips ministry is just... The return rate we get from students on those school trips is great. And we actually have... We have three members on summer staff this year. Three members on summer staff. The three of them actually come to Bethel Bible Chapel. They call Bethel Bible Chapel their home. Who came on a school trip, were introduced to camp, were given a coupon to come back for $50. So they came back, made some great connections at camp, gave their lives to the Lord, and now they're serving on summer staff at Camp Oshpakoon. So God works in amazing ways through those things. The next is the Camp ABK Open House. This is not a day where you have to come and work. This is a day where you can come and enjoy the facility. So if it's nice out that day, you can bring your kids. You can maybe invite some neighbors along, whatever you want to do. Invite some people who haven't been to camp before and come enjoy the facilities. The rope swing, the water slide will be open, and there's a barbecue, a free barbecue. That's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.-ish. So come on out and enjoy that. The next, and this is important for you folks to really listen to, the summer camps, July to August. We are looking for all sorts of different skills: counseling, cooking, serving, fixing stuff on maintenance, whatever you're good at, really. And there is a belief or a stereotype that in order to be a camp counselor, you need to be young and energetic, and you do have to be energetic. But I know a lot of old energetic people, and I think a lot of people who are older would say, yeah, I'm pretty energetic. Well, come to camp for a week. The two counselors that come to my mind immediately when I think of like good, solid counselors are both over 50, and they're still going to camp. So don't think that, oh, I'm not in my 20s, I can't come counsel camp. We are looking for people who love God, good, solid people who will come along and just tell these kids about Jesus' love and show it in their lives. So come to a summer camp, July, August. They're week-long commitments. You can talk to me after, or I'll have a sheet that you could write your email down if you prefer to correspond over email, and then I'll email you. Give me about a week, because I'm living at camp next week and there's no internet yet. But give me about a week and we can talk about what week you can come and serve. There's all sorts. It ranges from sports camp to kiddies, which is 7 and 8 year olds, to youth, which is 16 plus, and everything in between, really. So consider giving a week of your summer to ABK. And the final one is work week. That's at the end of the summer, August 31st to September 4th. Again, we're closing up camp then, and we also have some capital projects on the go then as well. So you can talk to me about that. I have printed off this morning 20 ABK staff forms. I would like to leave with zero. That is my goal. I was going to say that's my secret goal, but it's not secret. I'm making it public. I would like to leave with zero staff forms, because 20, at least 20, if you've got to make me print off more, I'll do it. But at least 20 people will come and say, you know what, I want to give a week of my summer to ABK. Third thing is we can give generously. So give of your time, which we just talked about, and also financially. I have also printed off several copies of this capital projects information sheet. It's at the table at the back. Basically, it outlines our capital projects for the next 4 years. Camp is getting to a point where the buildings are starting to, for lack of a better word, fall down. They're not actually falling down. If you come and work, you'll be safe, I promise. But they are getting to a point where they need to be replaced. And at camp, we want to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us. So we've come up with a 4-year plan for now on capital projects, which outlines them. You can look on the piece of paper. At the end of it all, we expect to spend about $170,000 on capital projects in 4 years. That's above and beyond our operating expense. So we are depending largely on people to give generously to ABK. And finally, you can tell people about camp. I heard a story of a couple who, they noticed their neighbors were of camp age. So they went over and talked to the parents about ABK, and now those kids are coming to camp this summer. Sometimes that's all it takes to get somebody to come out to ABK. You go to a parent with this brochure, and you talk to them about camp, and they see the prices. That's the cheapest daycare you're going to get for a week in the summer, guaranteed. So talk to people about camp. And tell them just a little bit about why it's so life-changing. So that concludes, I guess, the ABK portion. So I'll dismiss the Sunday school now. We may go, and we're going to look into God's Word. So as I said, if you're at all interested in serving at camp, I would love to talk to you after the service. I'll be standing at the table that has a bunch of ABK stuff. This won't make a loud noise, will it? No? Good. and we can talk a little bit about how you can get involved with ABK. So to introduce what we're speaking about this morning... It feels really empty in here all of a sudden. To introduce what we're speaking about this morning, I want to just tell you a quick story from my past that involves camp. And that's when my second year camping at junior high boys, I loved camping, but I only camped actually 2 years because I always went as a staff kid. I was told that I was a pretty annoying staff kid. I'd always go as a staff kid, and I thought I'd work, but other people said I just bugged them. Anyways, so I went as a staff kid, and for junior high boys, I finally said, no, I want to go and camp. So I camped for 2 years, and the second year, the director of that camp, a man I respect greatly, Ken Farron, he asked me if I would like to come the next year as a program assistant, which isn't an official position at camp. He just saw that maybe I had the right attitude about camp or something. He said, you know what, why don't you come and serve next summer? And I got really excited about that prospect. I think I was 13 at the time, so I was a couple years before I could legitimately work at camp. So hearing that this man invited me to come and help him out, it really impacted me then. And then he followed up the next year, and I ended up program assisting at junior high boys. And it changed my whole view on what camp is all about. As a camper and as a staff kid, quite honestly, what I saw camp as is a place to serve me. And I think often as we're growing up in the church, there is a time in our lives where we see the church as a place to serve us. Sunday school, Awana, youth group, that's all ways in which the church kind of serves us. But there has to be a point, and I'm convinced of this, there has to be a point in our lives when we realize that the whole idea behind being a member of the church, behind really worshiping God, is that servant leadership idea. The idea that we ought to want to serve others because we love others. And that was 1 week in my life where that kind of all flipped around for me. And then I remember after that week being so excited to go and counsel for a week. And then being so excited to sign up on summer staff. And then every spring when the summer staff applications would come out, being so excited about, oh, am I going to get in? Am I not going to get in? I don't know. Let's talk to all our friends about it. Like the hype that's around it is so fun, but so rewarding when you can look back at a summer and see just all the work that went in and how God was ultimately glorified at ABK. So I'm excited to be a part of the leadership at Camp ABK. As you, I'm sure, all know by now, my wife and I are taking over as managing directors, and the part I'm probably, one of the parts I'm most excited about is the fact that I get to be involved in a ministry that does a lot that does a lot of work in a passion of mine, and that's mentorship, the idea behind mentorship, the idea behind training up young people to live for God. Camp does a lot of that. I remember my time on summer staff looking up to Brian and Jen, well, specifically Brian Windle, as a mentor, and then also meeting all sorts of people from camp, Ken Farron, Ed Brooks, the list goes on of these older gentlemen who I could really look up to and respect. Oh, thank you. So I'm excited to be part of camp for that reason. The fact that I get to enter into this role where people will get to look up to me as a leader. And I think mentorship is so important for us to talk about in the church today. A mentor is someone who advises or trains someone, especially a younger colleague. So this morning we're going to talk about mentorship, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 23 to chapter 11, verse 1. And we're really reading the passage for context. We're going to focus right in on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. But we'll read 1 Corinthians 10, 23 to 11, verse 1. I'm reading from the New International Version. So if you don't have that version and don't feel like being frustrated because you keep getting lost, you can just listen. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I am referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we can talk about ABK a little bit this morning. And God, I would pray that as we look into your word, Lord, that you would just open up truths to us, challenge us, God, and convict us, Lord. And God, I pray that you would speak through me, help me to be clear and concise in my message this morning. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So mentorship is not something that we will specifically see mentioned in the Bible. We won't see the word mentor in the Bible. However, we have a lot of examples of it in Scripture. You have Jesus and his disciples, obviously, in my opinion, the greatest example of it. You have Barnabas and Paul. You have Paul and Timothy. You have Naomi and Ruth. You have Elijah and Elisha. And you have Moses and Joshua. So you have all these pictures of this mentorship relationship, this person who's wiser in their faith, who's lived a little longer, lived through a little more, taking this younger person who's maybe newer or newer in their faith and bringing them along and just kind of talking with them, teaching them, giving them some instruction, probably studying the Bible with them, things like that. That's what I think mentorship should look like. And today, before we go into it, I just want to talk a little bit about the fact that we live in a world today that is really very opposed to biblical truth. And I'm not standing up here to be kind of doom and gloom and say, oh, this world, it's terrible. We should just like not care about it, basically. What I want to say this morning is I believe that as Christians, we should be joyful about what's waiting for us. We should be joyful about the hope that we have in Jesus, and that joy should be contagious to those around us. People around us should see that joy in us and wonder, what's up with them? They should see Christ's love in our lives based on everything we do. So I'm not trying to stand up here and talk about doom and gloom stuff, but what I am saying is I don't have my head buried in the sand, and I realize that the world we live in today is very opposed to biblical truth. I just want to give a few examples. God's standard for purity. God's standard for purity is that we should be with one woman, and that's our wife, or one man, and that's our husband, and that's it. And you look today, and I speak to a lot of young people. I talk to a lot of young people about this stuff, and we live in a world that is overrun with addiction to pornography, with accessibility to pornography. In fact, this year, for the first time ever, there was an advertisement in Times Square for a pornographic website. So you imagine families walking down Times Square could see this advertisement for a pornographic website. So we live in a world that not only is this stuff accessible, but in many cases, it's encouraged. We live in a world today, we live in a culture today that has completely ignored God's design for marriage to be between a man and a woman. In fact, so much so that much of the church in North America has strayed away from the biblical fact that marriage is between a man and man and a woman. In fact, not only is the culture opposed to it, but I would go as far as to say that Christians today in our culture, for taking a stand against same-sex marriage, for taking a stand against God's design for marriage, Christians today are being persecuted for that. And in no way am I up here saying that it's an easy issue to deal with and we should just we should just ignore those people and not love them. We have to love people who are struggling through sin, but we have to be able to identify sin as sin and then speak to people's lives through that. We live in a world today where kids are learning, our young people are learning, that abortion is a viable option for birth control to a certain extent. Today, 40 to 50 million babies a year are aborted. That equals 115,000 children a day are being taken away before they get to live a life on this earth. Again, an example of how we live in a world that is very opposed to biblical truth. Let's talk about reading our Bibles. There was a survey done in Canada a couple of years ago now, I believe it was, about it was taken of evangelical Christians, and the question was, do you read your Bible at least once a month? That was the survey. The percentage of evangelical Christians who read their Bible once per month is 14%. We wonder why we're straying from biblical truth in the church, because we're not reading God's word. 14% of people who would say they were born again believers only read their Bible at least once a month. That leaves the other 86% not reading God's word, not reading what he left us here to learn about him. Talk about youth today leaving the church. And again, these are statistics, and I understand that you have to take statistics with a grain of salt, but even if this is remotely true, it's frightening. There was a survey done, and the question was asked, have you trusted in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation? And it was asked to a variety of age groups. Those who are 65 years and older, 65% of them said, yes, I believe in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. It's a decent number. You go to the next generation, 46 to 64-year-olds, that number drops to 35%. You go to the next generation, 34 to 45-year-olds, that number drops to 15%. You go to the next generation, 16 to 33-year-olds, that number drops to 4%. 4% of 16 to 33-year-olds would say that I trust in Christ alone for my salvation. For those of you doing the math, that is 96% of that age group who are utterly and hopelessly completely lost. That is an absolutely big deal. It is an alarming thing for us as the church. How do we pass the gospel on to the next generation effectively? How do we do that? Of that 4%, it is said that up to 70% of that 4%, when they graduate high school, will disappear from the church influence over the next 4 years. Some will come back, many won't. So as a church, we need to look at this world, look at the state of this world, and ask ourselves, how do we effectively impact the next generation? And I want to be clear, I am not talking about our church programs here. I'm not talking about Awana. I'm not talking about youth group. I'm not talking about Sunday school being broken at all. I'm not saying that that's the problem. In fact, I was involved in all of those ministries, both as somebody who is a student in them and somebody who led in them. And I would say that those programs are great. But the problem is people who send their kids to those programs and think that they have no responsibility for their child's spiritual well-being. That is wrong, and it is not biblical. So as a church, we need to be aware of these numbers, be aware of the situation, and then we need to look at some solutions, at some solutions to the problem. And I think we need to look at this closely because of the weight of what we're dealing with. We're not simply dealing with just the idea of, oh, we don't have a lot of numbers. We're dealing with the idea that these people who are lost are not just lost here on this earth, they are lost for an eternity. I see that at camp often. I'll see these young people come through camp. And they'll be on fire for God. They'll be counseling a cabin. They'll have all the right answers. 2 years later, they disappear. You ask if they want to come to camp, and you realize that they've decided to step back from their faith. I want to read you an excerpt from a Facebook message that was sent to me. This is a message from a young man. I asked him how it was going. And this is what his response was. School is going good, passing everything that I know of at this point. Life is kind of starting to get scary with high school ending and college starting. I don't have a job. I don't know where I'm staying for school. I have to sign up for OSAP soon, so I'll be able to go to school. Spiritually, things are all right. Haven't been doing as much as I'd really like to. I don't meet with anyone to help with accountability or anything. I'm kind of just walking the journey by myself, really, at this point. That is not how it should be. We should not expect that people have to go into their high schools, go into their elementary schools, go wherever into their sports teams, whatever, and be bombarded by these messages of sex and drugs and alcohol and impurity and just biblical untruth. We shouldn't expect them to have to go into that alone. Young people should not have to go into that alone, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about 3 points here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. The second two have to do with it. The first one I just felt I had to mention. So first, parents need to take responsibility for their children's spiritual well-being. Second, we need to follow Christ's example. And third, we need to follow Christ's example so others can follow our example. So as I said, the first one, parents need to take responsibility for their children's spiritual well-being, is not directly in this passage. But I have made the mistake before of speaking about mentorship, speaking about discipleship, speaking about passing it on to the next generation, and not mentioning the role of parents in that. And clearly in the Bible, the role of parents is the utmost important in this process. We have several references to that. We're not going to read them all. Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 to 9, Psalm 78, verses 1 to 4, all over in Proverbs 13, 24, 19, 18, 22, verse 6, and Ephesians 6, 4. The common thread in all of these passages, and you can look them up later if you'd like, but the common thread is the idea that we ought to pass the good news of the gospel on to the next generation. We ought to pass the good news of the gospel on to the next generation in our families and outside of our families as well. I'm a dad now, which is still weird to say. I'm a dad now, and I think about my little girl Lucy and what my ultimate desire is for her life. And I think about how important of a role parents have on their children, how important of a role parents have on their child's spiritual well-being. I tell you, as parents, we need to be falling to our knees and praying for our children. As parents, we need to be diligent in studying God's word with them. How many of us rush to go watch a hockey game with our kids, but we don't spend time every day with them in God's word? Is that not so much more important? So as parents, my desire for Lucy, anyways, is above anything else that she would live a life that honors her heavenly Father. Above anything else. I mean, obviously, I want her to be successful. I want her to, I don't even want to think about some of the things I want because she's too little right now. But I want her to have that. But more than anything, I want her to honor her heavenly Father. And I know that this is going to take work. As I said, I think it's so important for parents to spend daily devotion time in the Word with their families. Men, I really think that we ought to step up, take leadership, and spend time in God's word with our family. And I'll be honest, I'm speaking to myself here. This last year, Kathleen and I lived apart for weeks at a time, and it was tough, and we never got on a good routine of spending time together in God's word with Lucy. Even though she won't really understand a lot of what's going on, I just want to form those habits. Parents, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for our kids. Grandparents, pray for your grandchildren. Aunts and uncles, pray for your nieces and nephews. We need to be praying. As I mentioned earlier, it is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And prayer is our most powerful weapon. Thirdly, we need to live it. And this brings us into our second point. Notice that Paul's reasoning to follow his example is what? Because he follows the example of Christ. We ought to be an example to others. We ought to be an example to the next generation because we follow the example of Christ. When I read this, my mind immediately went to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Who being in... Oh, I will start at 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We need to, in our relationships with one another, exemplify Christ Jesus' mindset. Humility is not really an attribute that is glorified in the world today. But it is an attribute that we ought to strive for. We need to be humble in accepting God's word in our lives. We need to be humble putting other people before ourselves. This is what following Christ's example is all about. He says it himself that, that in order to follow him, we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow him. It will take sacrifice to follow Christ. It will take hard work, I believe, to follow Christ. But we do it because he first loved us. You remember last time I was here, we spoke about how we ought not to deceive ourselves and merely listen to the word, but do what it says. But why do we do what it says? Because we realize it's a response in the glorious grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And I imagine the impact it would make if every person in this building left these doors with that mindset. The impact it would make in our community that if we left in the midst of the busyness of our lives, we were willing to take time out of it for other people, to help a brother or sister out who is in need. In the midst of a culture that glorifies money, that says make more, 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 accumulate more stuff, have nicer things, have nicer cars, have nicer homes, imagine if we as Christian people went out into that world and said, no, we're going to give, give, give. We're going to be humble in what we have. We're going to give sacrificially to people who are in need, people who need to hear the gospel, people who are in need in our very own midst. I imagine the impact it would have in my life if I treated those people around me with the attitude of Christ's humility. And obviously, as we live to exemplify what Christ is, he does not expect perfection. He does not demand perfection. That's the whole idea of the cross. That is why we have the cross. That is why we need to depend on the cross. We need to lean on the cross every day and the forgiveness and mercy that was offered to us on that cross. But we ought to be people who strive to live that humble lifestyle so other people can see it in us, ultimately so we can glorify God. I really do believe that's the best way in which we can thank him practically in the world today. Finally, Paul says here, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example. If you follow the example of Christ, I believe that you have the authority to say to others, follow my example. You have to search yourself first, but I believe you have the authority to say, follow my example. I believe that if older people in this church, people who are further along in their faith, came up to younger people who are struggling through all these issues in today's culture, who are going to high school and being bombarded with messages that aren't true, if older people who were more grounded and solid in their faith came alongside of them and said, hey, follow my example because I follow Christ, then I think that dropout rate would be significantly different. I really do. Personal relationships like that, personal mentoring relationships like that are so, so, so effective. Because they're offered accountability. This young person is offered accountability. They're offered just this person who cares about them enough to talk to them. And they're offered a good example to look up to. And I would encourage you that if you are a Christian, if you love Christ and you strive to serve him, one way in which you can do that, an important way in which you can do that, is by finding somebody younger in the faith and bringing them alongside of you and mentoring them. I have experienced this in my own life. I've had several older gentlemen, especially in this transition with camp, approach me and say, hey, so you know, I'm here to talk to. I had an older man the other day call me on my cell phone. I was in the middle of the Buck or Two parking lot buying supplies for a youth group. And he said, I just felt burdened right now that I ought to call you and pray for you. So let's pray together. You have no idea the encouragement that is for somebody young like myself. I have experienced it as somebody who mentors younger people. I have a few young guys that I mentor, and I see in their lives a gradual climb as we talk. And not every time do we get together, do we go like right into the Bible and deep Bible study. No, sometimes we just hang out together and talk. Talk about life, talk about what's going on. And then they turn around and come to you with a more significant issue, and you're there to guide them through it. And it's not only impactful to them, it impacts me greatly. When I get to talk to a young man about issues that I struggled with myself, but through God's mercy I've been freed from, oh, it's so rewarding. In closing, I want to encourage those of you who love Christ. If you're younger, seek out a mentor. Seek out somebody to guide you, to look up to as an example. If you're older, if you're mature in your faith, come alongside somebody and say, let me be your example. Let me be your example because Christ is my example. To bring it all together, ministries like Awana, youth group, Sunday school, camp are great ways to kickstart these sort of relationships. I cannot explain it, but on Sunday at 4 p.m. or 3 p.m., when kids get off the bus, they meet you for the first time as their counselor. By supper time, they look up to you so much. Like, you mean the world to them. And you don't know why. You've only been with them 2 hours. They barely know you. But talk about a great way to kickstart that kind of mentorship relationship. One of the young men I mentor, I met him first counseling at ABK. And I just felt a burden for him, so I talked to his parents, and that was probably 8 years ago. So get involved with these programs. Get involved with these ministries. And let's be a church that strives to pass it on to the next generation. I know I had to rush through things a little bit this morning. I'd encourage you to do your own study on what mentorship is, why it's important in the Christian's life, because there's so much more involved. I just wanted to hit a few of the points. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you. God, I thank you for your son. God, I thank you that I know the salvation that your son, that you offer me through your son. God, I thank you that I can have that eternal joy, that eternal hope, because I know the sacrifice that was made for me. And God, I would pray for anyone in this room who doesn't know that sacrifice, that they would come to know it. God, I would pray that if we do know that, that we would strive to bring along younger people with us, that we would strive to be like Paul and say, let me be your example, because Christ is my example. God, I would pray for revival in this country. God, I would pray that young people would be set on fire to glorify your name, that 4% statistic would be shattered. God, I would pray that we as a church would band together and strive to do that. So God, I thank you for this day. God, I pray for camp this summer. Lord, I pray that you would prepare young and old people to come and work there this summer who just love you and want to serve you in that way. God, I pray that you would prepare campers to come. God, prepare in their hearts even now to hear the message that you have to say to them in a week of camp. God, I thank you for the support that this chapel as a whole and many individuals give to camp each summer. And I thank you that it's only because of your son that we have a place like that. It's only because of your son that we meet here this morning. It's his name we pray. Amen.